Hello, everyone. Friday night again. You know the drill. It's me and Harry this week. We've got Bolton away tomorrow. Before we get started, I just wanted to say a big thank you to Smith's Hyundai for their partnership for this episode. They are based over on Bretton Way. They've got the showroom where you can come and see their new and used cars. And hopefully, we'll see you driving. Everybody's driving around Peterborough in Smith's Hyundai's cars. Harry, you weren't on the post Aston Villa episode. Did you manage to catch enough of it to pass a comment?
No, I was still at work and I didn't see any of the game whatsoever. So you tell me. I mean, I saw that we were 2-0 down.
Yeah, do you know what? I'm still thinking of this, that actually pulling it back from 2-0 down was probably a disastrous thing because it just papered over the cracks, didn't it? Pretty much. And it kind of felt like it was embarrassing to actually go 2-0 down to a Villa under 21 team that, yes, they were good and they were fast and they had good patterns and things like that, but no professional football team should be going down to ultimately what's a bunch of kids. And I mean that in the most respectful way that I possibly can. It was just poor all round from Posh, unfortunately. But before we do bring on our Bolton guest for tomorrow, I should remind everybody, massive banner beneath us. We have been nominated for an FCA. If you can please head to the link that's just going across the bottom of the screen now and vote for Up the Poshcast in the best club content creator for the Football League, that would be much appreciated. I think it's the 12th of October that voting closes, but there's no need to wait until then. You can get your vote in now. I said last week when we did this, I am itching to win. And that hasn't changed in the last week. I'm desperate to win something this season because Posh will not be winning the Virtue Trophy. With that said, let's get Jack on. Jack, how are
Hey
you?
lads, how are we? Are we okay?
Yeah, all good, thank you. Thank you for joining us this evening.
No
Look,
problem.
you're a big guy on TikTok, aren't you? We had Tobber on a few weeks ago. You tell us all
Oh
about
yeah,
you. Tell the viewers about you.
big fan of Tobber. Nowhere near as big as him, but been doing this TikTok thing for a while now, doing the whole sports journalist course at uni. It's going pretty well in my third year now, and yeah, big fan of yous lot as well, doing some really cool things. So thanks for having me on.
Wicked. Jack, you am I right in saying that you also work for Fleetwood or do work for Fleetwood? Is that right?
Yeah, so this season we've started doing some videography for Fleetwood. I've done a few home games so far. Was meant to go Cheltenham tomorrow, but unfortunately I'll be watching Bolton instead.
And on that note, I mean, I'm looking at the table. It's looking like a similar story to last season so far. Is that fair to say?
It's such a difficult one with us. We've never ever want to make it easy for ourselves. Coming into the season, there wasn't much of an expectation. There was obviously going to be some sort of rebuild, but then Fergal Harkin brings in these lovely superstars on loan and these great players, and you think maybe we can do something this season, but it's just not clicking yet.
Can you tell us a bit more about the rebuild then? So who've you lost and what have the replacements been like?
Well,
Although
there was.
we can leave out Joel Randall for now. We'll come back to him
We'll
later.
definitely come back to him, yeah. Well, we lost a few key players. George Thomason went for a bit of money, same with Aaron Collins. And it was definitely some big replacements needed. We came in, Mario Cosier-Dubry, I know everybody's heard about him. Mason Burstow, who obviously hasn't made many appearances in professional football, hasn't really got kick started, more of a backup signing for a striker. Sam Dolby was also brought in, but Mason Burstow's been superb, and there's a lot of signings that have clicked and showed spells of good football. It's just kind of that community vibe thing going on that we all start to play together as a team.
Jack, one man that you didn't mention that you lost last or over the summer was Ricardo Santos. Have you managed to sort of fill that gap? Because he always felt like he was a thorn in Posh's side. Whenever we, being an ex-Posh man, he always felt like he had the better of us.
I am a big Rico Santos fan, huge Rico Santos fan. He went to Swansea on a free. I know there was a bit of tension from some Bolton fans about his departure, and it was bringing in that replacement. That was important. We did have people on the side, Chris Foligno, who we bought a few seasons ago from Wickham. Ryan Christie's come in. He's not really shown up yet. We've not had time to play him, but there's already been partnerships there and in the back line with Owen Toll, Forrester. There's been people there who were definitely capable of filling Rico Santos's shoes.
All right. I mean, what's your sense of the fact that, you know, it's a bad loss on Saturday to Northampton? Is that a bit of a blip, or are you seeing signs throughout the season so far that it didn't surprise you?
It wouldn't have surprised me if we did the usual thing we do when we play Wigan at home and get thumped, but we beat them for the first time in 11 years. I was 9 years old the last time Wigan came to our place and we won. This is what Bolton do. They give you a bit of hope and then they take it away straight away. And we have seen it throughout the season. A game I always like to highlight is Reading at home. Very Ian Everett kind of game where we've battered them all game. We've done the hard work and got the goal. And then it just starts to fall apart those last 10 minutes. So there's definitely been signs this season.
Jack, you mentioned Everett there. Obviously, he is now gone, isn't he? Although, am I right in saying that he does still have some involvement in the club? People said that potentially he's got some shares. Is that right?
I'm not much of a businessman. He did definitely have some shares, and there was this whole rumour and alleged stuff of that Sharon was keeping him around because of his shares, which I think was a load of pony. But he's not got them anymore from what I know, but I wouldn't count that as gospel truth.
And the new manager now, has he managed to sort of implement what he wants to do in and around the club?
Schumacher's definitely a manager in which we trust. I think at the start of the season, a lot of people would have said he's the best manager in the league. He did, you know, an all right job at Stoke, and he's a League One winning team with Plymouth. So he definitely needs a few more players, I think. I think there's a right back needed. There's always things you look at when you watch football as a fan where you could go, right, well, we definitely need an improvement there. But bearing in mind he's had just one summer, I think he's done pretty well with the signings he's made and the finances he's had available.
Is his style coming through? And can you talk us through it a bit, what you have seen in terms of the tactics? You look on the BBC ticker, it says you're a 4-2-3-1. Is that fair? Like, things like how involved the fullback's getting, like what kind of style are you seeing?
Yeah, absolutely. So under Everett, it was very sideways and backwards kind of football. I think definitely this season we've seen a bit more intent in terms of wingers. Wingers are a big thing for us this season that we didn't really have. Focused mainly on wing backs last season. And Dacros Cogley isn't a wing-back. Max Conway, on the other hand, who was at Crewe last season, he's come back here. He's superb at going forward, so I don't mind that. But Cogley has no idea what he's doing when he takes the ball up the pitch. So having wingers, especially Cozy Adubre, Thierry Gale, who I don't think gets spoken about enough, they are constantly going forward. There's a lot of times, which a lot of people will know with wingers, where they just kind of stand there and don't put the ball in when you think it should go in. But it's mainly getting to those target men in Mason Burstow and Sam Dolby. We've been trying more of a 4-4-2 system when we played Wigan. That's worked really well with Force, who's on loan from Middlesbrough's contract's up at the end of the year. He's superb. A lot of Middlesbrough fans are saying he's a coup for what we've got him for that season.
So I'll let you in on this. I'm sure you saw, lost 3-0 to Lincoln on Saturday. We've moved to a three at the back system, a pretty narrow 3-5-2. And they also played a 4-2-3-1 that somewhat melded into a 4-4-2 out of possession. And they absolutely destroyed us using that. So I think it's maybe a good sign for you that you've probably got the right setup for us. I'm going to cast my mind back to last season's game. Ashley and I were both there where I think it's fair to say Posh created pretty much nothing, but also looked, in an old way, fairly handy for a point, leaving Bolton. And then, of course, we had, can you remind me who it was, Ashley, who I don't think he's with the club anymore, who gave away the penalty in the last minute?
Well, unfortunately, he is.
Was it De Havilland?
Yeah, it's De Havilland.
So a guy who can't even get in our side now for our under 21, sorry, against under 21s in the Virtue Trophy. He was the guy who gave away the pen. Were you there that day? Were you there that day as a start?
Yeah, I was there that day, and it was absolute I can't think of that word. You know what I'm trying to say. It was absolute limbs. I think we did miss the penalty, Bedlam. And then it was yes, perfect, thank you. I think the penalty was saved, and then Lolos obviously dragged it in. Who's now with you, which I've just realised.
I didn't even realise it was Lolos.
I'm pretty sure it was Lolos. You might want to fact check me on that. But
it absolutely was, and I'm pretty sure that Bolton fans have said that was the only good thing that he did in his time at the club.
And he once hit the bar in a friendly against Fiorentina, and that was pretty cool. So there you go, lads. But the way it was a very classic Bolton game of we should be winning, but we're not, which is really confusing. And that's something that I think you could focus on again today. The longer you stay, keep the game level, I think the more of a chance you've got to take something home.
Yeah, do you know what? That game, I don't know if you remember it, Jack, that was probably Nick Bilakapic's best performance at Posh. And I actually don't think I've ever felt so deflated walking out of an away end, because it felt like we were there and it was the 98th minute, wasn't it? And I remember that obviously we were in the away end. The ball boys were all giving it the big one because they'd won. So this is a word for any of those ball boys. If you're there tomorrow, we're having words. Even if we lose 5-0, it's unfinished business from last season, because I'll tell you what did happen. We were walking around and they passed us, and I've never seen a group of lads look so scared in my life. I am not a physical man, but they were petrified. They ran to the nearest steward very quickly for protection. So unfinished business tomorrow. I'm not making a rivalry out of Bolton, but yeah, I think we're due one, that's for sure. But, you know, Jack, about tomorrow, what are you thinking? Is there anyone? This is the question I like to ask people. Is there anyone that concerns you at Posh that might cause you a few difficulties?
Well, it's a really good question. Obviously, your team has changed dramatically. A lot of young talent. To put a name straight on it, there's definitely a few that I'm not able to put an exact name to. But Posh in general, usually at home, we struggle to put you away straight away. There was the 1-1 away last season, where it was a bit of a dead rubber game for us and for you, where it didn't really matter. I just really want us to be comfortable tomorrow. A lot of people are saying it's a must win. We have to get our season started now rather than later. But I just don't want to stress tomorrow. I want to turn up in the rain and just be very calm.
Well, I'll give you some names, Jack. Clearly Lolos to start. It's a real threat. No, I'm kidding. He might not even come on the pitch. Like, he's been a real bit part so far, which is disappointing. I'm trying to think, actually, have we seen anything yet notable from him? Yeah?
Yeah, he was decent at Wigan when we went to Wigan away. He came on for like the last 25 minutes, didn't he? And
yeah,
he did what Lolos is good at and carried the ball in tight spaces in the box. And it's just that he's not really been given the chance to do that going forwards. We're now seeing him and Fergie played him on Tuesday night as a striker with Gustav Lindgren. And I know that we brought him in and people said, well, he's a cam, he could play a striker. I don't think that he's a striker, definitely not in the system that we play at Posh. Jack, was he ever a striker? Did he ever come on in that position, or was he very much number 10 at Bolton?
He was very much an impact sub, usually on the wing. I don't think he ever really played up front. He might have come on for like 5-10 minutes up front, but very much just a fresh legs kind of player. Would work hard for those 10 minutes he was given, but never offered anything too special.
We've actually got an injury crisis at wing. This isn't the reason we're playing three at the back with wing backs, but if we wanted to change out of it and go back to wingers, we've already got one natural winger who's fit at the minute in Abraham Otto. And yeah, calling him a natural anything is. Yeah, he's not. He'd be my fourth choice of the four wingers we've got. However, to hear Lolos is played wing for you, maybe he could come in and do a job possibly if we need him to. I think we're there. It's time for the main question. Ooh. Joel Randle. He didn't even make the squad on Saturday, but he's been in and out of the side, hasn't he? He's scored once this season. How has he been for the last whatever it's been 10 months?
Joel Randle is someone. He is the thing is, I want him so well because a number 10 is something we've always kind of struggled with. He's not really molded too well. Randle hasn't molded too well. My mate said at the start of the season that he could come good this season. He predicted 10 goals and 10 assists for Randle. And there's obviously talent there.
Exactly what I said 2 seasons ago.
It just can't be denied, though, because you see him in spells and you go, well, that's a footballer. He can play football. But sometimes it's just he plays and it's lethargic. It's lazy sometimes. It's such poor decision-making. He will have the ball on a counter-attack, simple passes to make, and he just simply can't make them. But then again, there is a player there, and I do want him to come good. I just haven't seen it for that price tag at all.
Oh
yeah, no. Gosh. Let me in, Harry. Let me in, Harry. I'm throwing you under the bus here, Jack. Look, there's two of us here tonight from the podcast, and only one of us has ever said that Joel Randle has got Premier League vision. Is that a statement that you can get behind, or is not me chatting breeze?
Before you respond, Jack. To be clear, I'm just saying that I've noticed that he can spot really good passes, even if he doesn't necessarily execute them all the time.
Oh, well, that's all right then. No, I can't agree with that statement, unfortunately, Harry. He's got the quality, which is what's so aggravating about it. And it almost seems like he will turn up one in every 15 games and he'll look like a serious player. And then it just goes back to absolute dross and we have no idea, like, is he having different breakfast for those games or what? I don't know what's going on, but simply put, I think if we give him a little bit more time, maybe he does come good, but questions are definitely being asked by the Bolton fans.
Yeah, look, so the thing with Randle is that Fergie basically had to tell him that no matter how bad he played, and this wasn't last season, this was the season before, he wouldn't be dropped, and that sort of gave him the confidence. And the most frustrating thing with last season is that, look, other than probably Max and Harry, I don't think that we were too complimentary of Joel Randle in his time at Peterborough. But the worst thing is that we've actually been terrible since he left and since he dropped out of the team. It's literally like that he is the piece of the puzzle that we were missing for the whole of last season. And similar this season as well, even when we moved to the five at the back with the three in midfield, it's kind of like he's the 10 that we need that can slot those passes through to the players. And I think you're right. I think that there is still a player in there, maybe not to get Bolton promoted to the Championship, but I think that if Schumacher wants Randle to work, he's got to give him 10 games on the spin to probably like get rid of the cobwebs. Is there a chance that Schumacher gives him 10 games on the bounce?
Well, I think you've put that really well in terms of the team in general. It's a very new squad. There's a lot of different new players and it's finding out those right partnerships. For example, the two centre-backs, the two in midfield, the two strikers, who's right to go where? For example, when we played Wigan, it was going to be a very gritty game, lots of hard tackles. So Schumacher, rightly so, went with a Simmons and Erehan partnership. And then he changed it for Northampton to Josh Sheehan, who's much more technical and small. And it didn't pay off. He had a really poor game. So Joel Randle has made a few starts at the start of the season. And a lot of Bolton fans did go, well, he's playing a few games in a row and he's having to come off. He's not playing very well. So I think time is ticking for him personally.
Yeah, well, obviously, Joel Randall is not going to be the answer to this question, but one that we've had come through in the comments is, who is your favourite Bolton Wanderers player? And I guess, are they going to play tomorrow is probably a good thing to tag onto that.
Currently, my favourite Bolton player is Mason Burstow. I'm 20 years old and I've got the new FIFA and I'm doing a Mason Burstow to glory. And he's just wonderful. His hold-up play, he's fast. And he's one of those players who, one of my favourite types of signings, where you expect them to not do very well, maybe be a backup, but they turn out to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. His goal against Wigan, if you watch that clip, he just takes player on, takes the shot, takes a risk, which wouldn't have been dreamed of under Everett for a striker to do. And it paid off. And I'm a big fan of Mason Burstow.
So is he going to have our three centre-backs spinning in circles tomorrow, do you think?
He's more of a get the ball when he needs to kind of player in the box, making those right movements. I will tell you someone who will have your centre-back spinning in circles, and this is not a prediction, it's a spoiler. Mario Kozier-Dewberry. Now that is a footballer.
Is he playing on the left wing or the right wing, Jack?
My concern is that you're also bigging up Thierry Gale earlier. So both of your wingers are going to be spinning us around tomorrow, is what you're saying.
Now, that's the wonderful thing. Kozier-Dewberry is so talented that a lot of teams, and I imagine Peterborough will do this as well, they put two players marking him throughout the game.
Was Kozier-Dewberry the one who had that goal in pre-season go viral? Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Was it against
the absolute shit pinger?
Yeah, it's a standard Kozier-Dewberry goal. He did it in the last minute against Leighton Orient. And he was constantly double marked. They did it against Wigan, two players on Kozier-Dewberry, and it didn't work because Thierry Gale was on the other side and wasn't marked, so he could take on as many players as he wanted, driving, all those kinds of things. And I think that's what the Bolton fans want. They want players that get your bums off seats, stuff like that.
Doesn't sound like Mendy is getting over the halfway line tomorrow, Ashley.
I think that my prediction, which will come up later, is probably a little bit too safe at the moment. I think that we might be in danger. Jack, before you go, we ask every opposition fan that we have on Countdown to kick off for their score prediction for the game. And also, if you think that Bolton are going to score, we would like to know your first goal scorer as well, please.
Oh, good question. I knew you were going to ask me this, but I've changed my mind about six times. Usually difficult. I'm going to go 2-1. I think it's not going to be comfortable, as it's Bolton Wanderers. And I'm gonna say Max Conway scores. A bit of a outsider pick there, the left back. I think he's gonna rocket one into the goal.
Absolute nightmare fuel that is, because if you're telling me that your left back's gonna score, I was hoping that you were gonna pick out one of your wingers or your strikers, but no, it's gonna be your left back that is the first goal scorer. Jack, before we do go, I would love to give you the chance just to promote yourself. Obviously, you are Trotters Talk EFL. Just give yourself a shout out whilst we've got you.
Oh, lads, that's awesome. Trotters Talk EFL, it's right there. I'm on TikTok. I do a lot of really weird football stuff about League One, like reacting to FIFA cards and where the squad will be in 5 years, like really dumb things that isn't very sports journalism-y. But it's a good laugh. So if you do like a laugh and you like a match day vlog, stuff like that, give us a cheeky follow. Thank you, lads.
No problem. Thank you very much, Jack, for joining us this evening.
Brilliant. Thank you so much. And get voting, lads. I'll be voting up the Poshcast.
Thank you very much. Right. Well, we're just going to play a quick ad from our partners for this episode.
We're losing 6-0 tomorrow.
Yeah. Let's not spoil the fun later, but, you know, what's that kid that is on The Simpsons that does that thing where he just says, I'm in danger? I think I might post that at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Ralph.
I don't watch it. I just, you know me, I just watch sport, don't I?
It is, Ralph.
Quick ad, then we're going to have Nathan on, who unfortunately goes to uni with Max. Sorry, Nathan.
In Peterborough, match day starts long before kickoff. And whether you're heading to the pub, the ground, or just tuning into the podcast, Hyundai gets you there in comfort, style, and with room for your mates. Visit Smith's Hyundai, your local Hyundai experts and proud supporters of Up the Poshcast.
We're back. Nathan, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
Wicked. Do you want to just give us a quick background on you? Obviously, I've spoilt the fun and told everybody that you are a sufferer and have to go to the same uni as Max. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about you?
Yeah, no, so I'm a first year football journalism student at the University of Derby. And it covers a wide range of things like news writing, videography, sort of everything in that industry. You know, I'd recommend it to anyone who's sort of interested in football. You know, it's run by brilliant people. You've got brilliant people there. So, yeah, anyone who likes football, I'd really recommend it.
Very good. Do you mind just, because we were talking before we came live, just about the fact that you've got some affiliation with not just Peterborough United, but also Newcastle. How'd you come about supporting both teams?
Yeah, so I sort of got into Newcastle through... I got into Newcastle through my cousin. We started going in around 2017-ish. I had a season ticket there for a few years before COVID hit. And then obviously it got too expensive. So we just had to sort of give it up. But obviously I've missed all the fun with them, you know, obviously with the new owners and everything that's going on around the club now. So... yeah, but it's been really good sort of watching the club go from sort of the dark days of Mike Ashley to where they are now.
I was going to ask how about Posh as well.
Yeah, Posh. I started going in around 2010, so you know I've been going for a long time now. I think my first sort of core memory, I was at the Old Trafford playoff final, although I don't remember tons of it. But I think the first sort of main core memory is probably the Chesterfield JPC final. You know, the first thing that I remember is winning, really. Great performance. And obviously, had seen us win at Wembley a lot more times since. So
I remember thinking that Lloyd Isgrove was going to be the next coming of... I don't even know if we have a comparable player. After he made one run and then missed it off to the left. Ash, were you even a Posh fan back then? You probably weren't, were you? I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Lloyd, well, that was after Old Trafford. I was probably 2008, 2009, I think, if I remember correctly.
Oh, fine. I'm sorry. Yeah, 2014.
Remember that we are the same age.
Okay.
Despite our hairlines differing significantly. Nathan, you've mentioned some highs. I'm going to bring you back down to reality, and I want you to tell me about this season so far and how that's been for you.
I mean, before the season started, I was just really worried about where the goals were kind of going to come from. Obviously, losing Kwame Poku, Ricky, and obviously a big part of the midfield and Hector. You know, obviously, I thought what was already a poor team last season with a couple of players sort of holding it together, really. And obviously, we lost them, and I just thought it's going to be a very tough season. But obviously, I think the players we've brought in particular those closer to the deadline, have really sort of brought the squad up. But I feel like the depth just still is not there. Like, you go beyond, say, Harry Leonard and Jimmy J. Morgan, and then you've got Gustav Lindgren, who just can't hit a barn door, can you, really? So, but beyond those two, you just don't really know where the goals are going to come from. But I think I'm feeling a lot more positive about it now than I maybe was back in July, August. So,
yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I think that some of the players we brought in earlier in the summer have done well. I think Keller's done well. But yeah, we needed that shot in the arm, didn't we, with these deadline day signings, several of which have hit the ground pretty pretty quickly. You were saying before we came live that you've been to most of the games this season, although you've unfortunately managed to miss both wins. Who, if you had to name one of the new signings, who in particular stood out for you?
I think Tom O'Connor, probably the main one for me. I mean, I know obviously that Jimmy scored all the goals, but I think we needed someone in that back line who could just, along with Tom Lees, who could just sort of help George Nevitt along with his development. And, you know, someone who could just really help us sort of stay stable. Because I thought we looked so shaky at the back, particularly in, like, I think the losing game, we could see a pretty poor goal. And I just thought, yeah, we needed someone out of the back to just sort of stabilise it and, you know, help George and Everett, you know, really. Because I think there's a player in there.
Look, let's discuss George and Everett further. Absolute podcast favourite at the moment, and we simply can't get enough of this guy. Did you see this coming at the back end of last season, this absolute transformation? Obviously, like you mentioned, Tom Lee's one side and Tom O'Connor the other, massively helping him. But did you see this coming, even with experience either side of him?
I mean, I think a lot of people being so harsh on him last year were forgetting his age. I mean, we're talking about an 18, 19-year-old player here, you know, who's really having his first big season in professional football. So I think the expectations of him were originally too high. I mean, I think he just needed a bit of time. I think maybe he could have done with a loan out, possibly. But like I say, a lot of people are touching on sort of how he needed to sort of put a few pounds on and build himself up a bit. But I think I don't know what's happened to him, but this season he's just looked a complete different player, really, hasn't he?
Completely agree. I think he's one thing in particular that he's got so much better at is the body feints. Like, he's starting to look a little bit like Ronnie, the way he's able to just do the kind of dummy. Ash hates that comparison, but it's true. It's part of the ball-playing defender's kit. He's being able to send the striker the wrong way when he's pressing. We've had now, what, four league games in the 3-5-2 formation. Appreciate. So you haven't seen two of them, right?
Yeah, I miss Wickham and Plymouth.
You've missed the two where it's worked. So, yeah. You know, we were undone against Lincoln. It never looked like it was going to work, that formation. Would you stick with it for Bolton, or would you consider going back to a bit more of a traditional formation?
I would possibly give it one more go because I think, you know, going to Bolton where, you know, it's going to be a tough place to play, you know, with the crowd. You know, we've got some very talented wingers. I think maybe the defensive setup where you've got Mendy and Kyoso could be beneficial in tomorrow's game. I mean, I know Carell Lisby will probably be hoping for a start because, you know, I thought he was brilliant on Tuesday night. You know, saved us really. Because, I mean, a lot of the players who played in that game aren't really going to be troubling Ferguson's mind when it comes to the lineup tomorrow. So, no, I think I would give it one more go. But I think after tomorrow, if it still hasn't worked, we're going to have to go for something a bit more balanced or attacking-wise, really.
Yeah, Nathan, this is a quick one. And I just want to know, let's say that we don't play the... I call it a five at the back. Others like to call it a three. It's a five. Would you play the 4-2-3-1? Because I personally think that there has to be... We have to play a formation where we have the two strikers. We can't have Jimmy J. Morgan or Harry Leonard sat on the bench. So what formation are you playing to work them both in, if that makes sense?
At the minute, I would probably go... with obviously the three centre backs, five midfielders, and two wingers, but I think we do need to go a bit more attacking with the wider players. Obviously, Mendy and Kyoso are very defensive, but like I say, I'll probably go a bit more attack on the wing. But obviously, I feel we definitely do need two strikers up front because obviously I think Harry Leonard's link up play has been really good. You know, I think his goal is coming. you know, he's been incredibly unlucky not to score. I think, you know, Jimmy J, I just think, you know, he's been a revelation since he's come in, really. You know, obviously it's nice to have a striker, though, even though his goals haven't been flashy or anything. You know, he knows where to be when the ball is spilled out, and that's really, you know, that's the main thing we need at the minute, really. Someone who can anticipate where it's going to land and pull in the net.
I'm with you. And for that reason, Nathan, I don't think Lisby starts tomorrow, but he definitely deserves minutes. But the only place you're putting him in this side is up top, given the formation, I think. Yeah. Surely he doesn't play as a wing back. So given you want Leonard and Jimmy J to start, I think we all probably do. I think Lisby comes on as a bit of a game changer, which he's earned, and he's looked good multiple times this season. I was also thinking, I don't know what you think about this, Nathan, but the bigger pitch at Bolton might help with exactly what you were just talking about the link-up play. Gives you that greater space be a bit more creative with that build-up. If you can take a good first touch, hold up the ball as a striker, you're going to have a lot more options, and through balls become far more possible. It really worked against Plymouth on a bigger pitch as well.
Yeah.
He had an absolute clogger up top in Talloy, and that pitch actually does not help him because they're punting it up to him, and Nevitt was able to deal with it. Might be a bit trickier tomorrow, but I think we're pretty good from what I've seen on bigger pitches. I don't know if you agree, Nathan.
Yeah, I'd say so, yeah. I mean, obviously, like you mentioned, Plymouth, we looked really good, even though I think we were on the back foot for a bit in that game, but that was always going to happen, in my opinion. I think the spells at Cardiff on their bigger pitch, we looked okay. Obviously, we weren't brilliant, but I think particularly towards the end of that second half, we did look like a decent attacking force. So obviously, but we're going to experience sort of both worlds in the next couple of weeks. Obviously, we've got Burton after that, and we all know how small air pitches, how difficult that is to play on. So we're going to see a lot of it in the next couple of weeks. So in terms of what suits us the most, so no, it'd be interesting to see, really.
Nathan, one man that I would like to get your thoughts on, who was fantastic alongside Lisby for 45 minutes, is James Dornelli, and whether you think that there's a spot in the 18 tomorrow for him. Obviously, I know that probably means that we have to take out CJ. Is that a change that you'd look to make?
I think I'd say so. I mean, obviously, he looked a bit raw last season, where I don't think they would have wanted him to play as many games as he did. But like I said, there is a player in there, you know. I mean, you don't get called up to the England youth team for nothing, you know. But obviously, like I say, you got hat-trick of assists, I think it was, on Tuesday night. So, no, there is a player in there. I just think he needs to touch up on sort of, especially when balls are going into the box, sometimes he was looking a bit shaky, sometimes maybe hesitant to go out to the ball to block it. But I think, yeah, there is definitely a player in there. I think I'll be definitely looking to integrate him in there tomorrow.
Just moving on to Fergie. Obviously, it's not been a good start to the season, but with some green shoots more recently. How secure do you think his position is? And if you were in charge of Peterborough United, what do you think you'd be mulling in terms of his position?
I think he has definitely improved it over the last couple of weeks, especially with those new faces coming in. But I mean, at the end of the day, football's a results business. And if we don't start picking up the wins soon, then at the end of the day, I think McAntony is going to be left with a choice where either he sort of has to swallow his pride and work with someone, you know, a bit different. Because, you know, there is a lot over McAntony only being able to work with certain managers. And Max was saying Luke Williams would be a good option for the club. You know, he plays an attractive style of football, I think, you know. And I think, you know, he looks fairly out of his depth in the Championship, but he was one of the best managers in League 2. So I think League 1's probably his level. But no, I would give...
Perfect for Peterborough United next season then.
Yeah. But no, I'll probably give Ferguson probably until maybe the end of the month. And if we haven't picked up a a win or two by the end of that, then I think there has to be a discussion on whether he's, you know, fit to lead us for the rest of the season.
So, Nathan, what you're telling me is that you basically think that Fergie needs to beat Burton and Blackpool to save his job, right?
I think potentially 4 points from six from them. I mean, obviously, you'd hope we'd be beating both of them, but I think 4 points is the absolute bare minimum from those, because they're two very winnable games based on how they've both played this season.
So assuming we lose tomorrow, which we'll get to your prediction soon, but let's say we did, that would leave us, 11 points from 13 games. At the end of October, that's a pretty, pretty grim position to be in. But I don't want to jump the gun on predictions. Have you got any questions from the audience, Ashley?
There isn't anything immediate. The one thing that I did just want to talk about, Nathan, is obviously you mentioned Luke Williams and his attractive football, which I think is a fair comment to make. Do you think that a team sat bottom of the league needs attractive football? Or do you think that we need... Look, he was sat in front of me on Tuesday night. Do you think we need big Steve Evans back in?
I wouldn't go for Steve Evans, but I can also see the other end of it. Someone who just knows how to get teams out of the relegation fights might be, you know, a good idea. Obviously, I'm not really sure what the market's like in terms of those managers at the minute. But I mean, someone at the end of the day, it doesn't matter. To me, it doesn't matter what style of football they play, as long as they've, you know, got experience of getting teams out of this situation. Then they're good enough, in my opinion, for where we are right now.
There was this manager who did it last season, who, having had a bad start, managed to only lose 1 in 10 games in the springtime. Not sure where he's at the minute. So, Ashley's hating this. I'm talking about Fergie. I believe I'm still Fergie in.
Such a terrible self setup. Like, it was so obvious where you were going with it. I will revert everyone back to what John said a few weeks back, where we'd only won like 3 games in the last 46 or something. That's not good enough. A Virtue Trophy win is not going to save Fergie's job, is it? We are rock bottom of the league, by the way. Burton have beaten Cardiff. That's not going to be an easy game. We went 2-0 down there. Like, that, we're way ahead now. That's what, 2-3 Saturdays away? But I'm concerned, and I think that anything that's not a win tomorrow, I think that we need a change. And I think that you've got to give a manager as long as possible, don't you? Like, Nathan, I'm sure that you'll agree. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Is, if we don't win tomorrow, obviously you said you would give Fergie. Do you not think that 2 weeks without a game is the perfect time to change the manager?
Yeah, I'll probably say, yeah, like I say, if we are going to go down that route of getting someone else in, then after tomorrow probably is the time to do it, you know, because they'd have plenty of time on the grass with the players to sort of get a style of play sort of embedded. But I just think that he can turn this around. You know, obviously, he's got such a good record at this level. I mean, maybe not at this end of the table, but I think, you know, he's done so much for us over the years. And I think, yeah, although we can't give him too much more time, I think maybe give him to the end of the month, assess where we are, and then obviously McCann's don't make a decision. But yeah.
Do you know, I said it on Twitter during the week. My big issue with giving him another 3 games is that I think he's just ruining his legacy at Peterborough United at the moment. And he's left previously in the Championship where he's not been able to save us potentially, and we've brought in a new manager. So I'm pretty sure the stat is that he hasn't ever actually taken Posh down, apart from the Crystal Palace game, where that happened. But the other 2 times, I don't think that he was the manager. And I just don't want Fergie to be our manager if we get relegated from League 1 to League 2. It sums it up, doesn't it? That he's on the shirt this season. I said it way back when they released the home kit. He's on the home shirt this season. what a disaster it would be if he ends up being a manager that is a legend but takes us back down to League Two where we started in 2006. But Nathan, with that, same as Jack, please, score prediction for the game tomorrow. And if you think Posh are going to score, please tell me who the first goal scorer for Posh is going to be.
I think realistically, I think it's probably going to be 2-1 Bolton. I do think it'll be Jimmy J. Morgan who once again scores for us.
Well, do you know what? 2-1's not as negative as I'm feeling for tomorrow. So thank you very much, Nathan. Thanks for joining us.
That's good. Thanks, Nathan.
Will we see you tomorrow, or are you at the game or not?
No. I'm at Warsaw against Bristol Rovers. So I'm very much looking forward to that. It'll give me a bit of a welcome break from Posh. So, yeah.
We will wave at you from the M6.
Thank you.
Thanks, Nathan. Thanks for coming on. Right. There's only one thing left to do, I think. Well, two things, actually. I'm just going to go back to the start of the comments before we move on to Predictions League.
Yeah.
Let's... CCZ Say Time wants to know if you want to be here. I love doing this. I love doing Friday Night Lives. It's my favourite time. And look, Max is in the comments, Harry, picking you up on one of your earlier comments about Oddo being the only fit winger. Don't forget this guy. He is a winger. By trade. Yeah.
No, you're right. You're right. There was a point. It's fine. Lisby was ill last week, so fine. At that point, Otto was the only fit winger. But yes, obviously, we now have two of them. Fine. Well done, Max. I don't understand the CCC comment, Ashley. What was that?
Oh, did you not see that Con Clark replied to me during the week? Yeah, over my comments about him being in the under 21.
I did see that, but I don't understand Chris's comment. What was... Something about wanting to be here. Oh, did you say that Con Clark doesn't want to be here?
Yes, correct.
Right,
yes.
I understand.
And I got pulled up for a salacious headline.
Do you want to be here on this Countdown's Kickoff with me where I don't know all the stuff that's gone on? Or our wingers who are fit.
So I'll tell you what, this is an interesting comment. Mendy should sit on the bench tomorrow.
You know, can I make a comment on this? Ed, while I'm not quite there, this needs to be Mendy showing up tomorrow. Too many times, while he's been positionally good, he has done nothing really in the final third. And that is very much part of the buy-in with this formation and specifically why him and Chiesa are on each of our wings doing that work that traditional wingers otherwise would be. So... it's last chance saloon for me. I don't need us to win tomorrow. I do need Mendy to put in a good performance. Otherwise, I'm thinking that we change it up in one direction or another. Even if that means changing formation to accommodate O'Connor going at left back. Yeah.
Next one. I think I answered this earlier. If we were forced to bring back one of Joel Randall, Jack Sparks, Sam Curtis or David Adjaboy, who are we picking?
This is great.
I will go. I'm gonna give you a 1-4. I'm not just gonna pick one. I'm gonna go Randall, Adjaboy, Sparks, and then Curtis for me. Harry, what's yours?
In that, as in first is Randall.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. There is actually, as we said earlier, there is genuinely an argument. Some people are gonna hate this, that Randall would suit this team as part of a midfield three because he's a bit more willing to be that link between the front two and the other two midfielders on the passing front. Because at the minute we've got Garbutt doing it, and Garbutt can pass, but his best trait is he's carrying the ball at his feet through rather than laying it off. And Randall would offer something as a midfielder to this team. Maybe Ben Woods will somehow fill that role. But sorry, yeah. Randall, yes, and arguably could even fit in this team. Then Adjaboy. I would have Sparks last. Curtis, you know what? In the first couple of games that Curtis played for us, he was actually all right. People forget that Curtis was actually good away at Shrewsbury. Do you remember? In the 4-1 win, Curtis did play well that day.
And there was another game. Yeah, when he switched over to left back, yeah.
Yeah, and there was another game early on at home. I forget which one. Where I think we gave him 7 and 8s across the board in one of our very first ratings as a podcast.
Been Huddersfield or Wrexham, one of those two potentially.
Not Huddersfield, not the first game. I think it was Wrexham. Now, did he completely fall off? Yes. But I can point to examples of him playing okay at least one or two times, and I can't do that with Sparks. So there you go.
Sparks is last for me. That's harsh on Jack Sparks. Jack Sparks got man of the match in at least one of our games.
Can you remind me? I can remind you
that we tagged him in a tweet and then everybody berated us and ended up deleting his social media, if that nudges your memory.
Oh yeah, you're right. Okay, well it's clearly Randall 1 and Ajiboy 2. Anyway.
Lods wants to know if Lisby is getting minutes tomorrow, is that Gustav finished? I don't think it is. I don't think it is.
I honestly do not think Fergie is done with Gustav. I think Fergie, and this may not be unreasonable, thinks that Gustav's a goal away from being serviceable, and he just needs some confidence, and he's probably looking at a similar pathway to what he had with Joel Randall, who we've mentioned an awful lot tonight. I'm not sure it's just a sentiment I agree with, but we're not hearing from Fergie anything negative about Lindgren in any of his press conferences, whereas you think about last season, he was calling Joel Randall out in them by the Birmingham game at the end of September. So I don't think there's a concern there.
Yeah, that comment from Ben, that sort of stuck with me a little bit. Maybe not so much on the Gustav thing, but certainly the Otto thing. And if you watch back to the press conference or the interview that Ewan did with Fergie, he very much said the subs were good in Dornelli, or the changes, Dornelli coming out to right wing back, Jimmy J. Morgan coming on, Lisby coming on and obviously scoring a hat trick. Oh, and Abraham Otto was good. It was very much a second thought. He played in the 10. That's not his position, is it? And he can maybe learn that position. But the irony is that I obviously said that Lolos would have been good in that. Con Clark would have probably been good in that position as well. In this formation where he can roam across the pitch behind the two strikers. But ultimately, I just don't think we're going to see it, are we? Not so posh. Has replied to a comment from Charlie Newman. What would you think about getting Des Buckingham in?
I have so little comments on other managers. You don't know until they start here, basically. We can all see managers doing well at other clubs, and sometimes even not doing that well, and then they move and it goes in a completely different direction. I don't know if we can give anything meaningful on any other manager. Yeah. In theory, Des Buckingham would be good because I could imagine this team that we've got now, especially with players like Lees and O'Connor, who are not flashy, and just be a compact and solid. I could imagine it working, but we just can't know, can we? We just can't know.
Chaz is active in the chat tonight. He is calling Mendy an absolute potato. He's team Harley Mills. And just so that everybody can see this on screen, I'm going to put on the exact reason why we should ignore everything that Charlie says. And that's because he wants us to bring back Ajiboy. That was the most obvious comment I think we could have got tonight. The man simply loves him. He's also going to tell us that it was Exeter away that Curtis got our man over the match.
Yeah, there you go. You know what? Also a game that Otto is pretty good in.
Yes, and Ricky won the penalty and
Collins missed it.
Archie Collins missed it. Yeah.
Yeah. And then
and Curtis
tore off his posh shot. Posh top. Doesn't matter. It's gonna make a joke about him like still loving Exeter, like kissing the Exeter badge. Doesn't matter. It's gone.
Right. I said let's get to the most important thing, which we know that people are waiting for. It's time for our score predictions. I'm gonna pull them up. As always, I will run through the five of them that aren't on the episode tonight. And then, Harry, you can talk through your prediction and I will talk through my prediction. So, Chaz has gone for 1-0 draw with Garbutt getting the first goal, or the only goal for Posh. Dell has gone with his classic 2-2. George Nevitt to score the first goal. Is that going to be a roaming forwards like we saw on Tuesday night, or is it going to be a header from a corner? I do not know. John and Max, both with 2-0 losses. Lods with a draw as well. So that's three draw predictions from hosts. Obviously, Lods, this is a boring 0-0. And then, look, I'm gonna be the negative one. I think we are going to get absolutely dicked tomorrow. I actually put in a score prediction before my 4-0, where I had us down as a 5-1 and that we might get a sympathy goal. But I just think that Bolton are going to be tight tomorrow. I think that their fans are going to be well up for it. They're 11th in the table and chasing it. And I looked back to their result against Lincoln at home, which was a draw. We obviously got stuffed against Lincoln last weekend. And I think that there's every chance that there's going to be a similar story, unfortunately. So as much as I hope that I'm wrong, and the whole Posh squad can come and mock me on Twitter or Instagram if they like after we've gone and won tomorrow, I think we're going to get absolutely battered. And I think that tomorrow will be Fergie's last game in charge, because I would hope that if we do get battered, that he walks and he retains or maintains that legendary status and is happy to pass the baton on to the next man. But that's enough about my prediction. Harry, tell us yours.
Well, I agree. Excuse me. I agree with you that I think we're going to be handily outplayed tomorrow and that we're going to lose. And I can live with it. I'm still going to be there. But I don't agree it'll be Fergie's last game. To be clear, sorry, for those on audio only listening back to this, I predicted us to lose 3-1 with Harry Leonard to get his first goal for Posh. But yeah, on the Fergie front, I get the point on we now have two clear weeks to get somebody in to coach some kind of new system in. But I definitely think we've got to look at now in this new phase, i.e. since deadline day, the teams that are lower down the table to pick up points from. And if we can't do it against Burton and Blackpool, yeah, fine. It's time to go. But away at Bolton, we've got to try and remember, even in a season that we would be looking higher up the table, would we necessarily expect to go here and get a result? The answer is no. So I don't think this should be a game that we judge him on. Would have loved to have had a better performance against Lincoln, but you know what? Even the Huddersfield loss was a good performance. And if we can see a good performance tomorrow, I think it'll be enough to save him for now.
Yeah, exactly that point, but I don't think 4-0 is a good performance if I'm going my prediction. I think that if we lose by a goal, then yes, you're right. Similar to the Huddersfield result, if it's 3-2, but we know that Dara's going to want to start seeing goals at some point. He's not spent 800k and whatever it is that Jimmy J Morgan costs in wages to not see us score goals like last weekend. And I just want Fergie to, I don't want him to go down and be a stinker. That's my thing. That's all that I've got in my head, is that Fergie is a legend and I don't want him to lose that because he kicks the can down the road. But I think that that we're there. Harry, have you got any other comments?
No. All good. Yeah, enjoyed it.
I'm going to leave you with this comment from Chaz.
Charlie's going, Harry, shut up. All I was trying to say that Archie missed the penalty, tore off his Posh top to reveal an X to one underneath, kissed the badge. It was just a joke. It's fine. Yeah.
Well, thanks. Before we wrap up, Charlie. Before we wrap up, thank you to the Next Level Barbo Club for their sponsorship of the Predictions League, and congratulations to Alex McCarthy for being the standalone winner of the September Predictions League. I should remind everyone that there is only going to be 3 games in the October one, so it's going to be really tight at the top. And ultimately, one correct prediction could win it for you, potentially. You may only need to get 7 points, possibly even 6 or 5 to come out on top. Thank you to Smith's Hyundai for their partnership as well with us. And with that, up the Poshcast.
Up the Poshcast.
Oh, and don't forget to vote for us in the FCAs.
Yeah, that's it.
I'll put the link in the description for everyone.